Last week, Pastor R began to teach us on the 7 hurdles to become a Holy Ghost person. And I want to give you those quickly because we really just want to find out, how do I become a Holy Ghost person? First, he began to discuss, the first hurdle was ignorance. Somebody say ignorance. It just simply means to be without knowledge. And as we go through these hurdles quickly, what I want y'all to remember is even pro-Holy Ghost people still have to jump these hurdles. And occasionally, the devil will throw a hurdle in our race. Amen? Why? He's always trying to trip us up. And so he'll throw these hurdles in our race, and you have to know how to jump them and get over them well. So the first thing is ignorance. Ignorance of the Holy Spirit, ignorance of his gifts. We know that even believers are ignorant of the Holy Ghost. Even in Acts chapter 19, they said, we don't even know. We didn't even know there was a Holy Ghost. You've got lots of Christians who know about a Holy Ghost, but don't know he's still active today, that he still wants to do something magnificent in their life. The second hurdle is apathy. And I think that's one that we all have to jump from time to time. Amen? Apathy. It says in 1 Corinthians 14:1, it says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. When we talk about apathy, it just really means to be indifferent, to lack desire, to have no interest. You know, there are times when the devil tries to put water on our fire. Or there's times we don't put wood on our own fire. Are you with me? Sometimes we like to blame the devil for something that we really did. Are you with me? The third hurdle is grieving the Holy Ghost. Somebody say grieving the Holy Ghost. Well, what does it mean? It means to bring sorrow to him, to hurt him. But something I also want to mention is that when you hurt his body, you hurt him. So when you're in strife with his body, or you're in strife with someone in the body, what's it doing? It's grieving the Spirit. It's grieving the Spirit. When you have unforgiveness towards somebody, it's grieving the Spirit. It's important to know that the Holy Spirit is a person. He is. You know, I might talk about this in a little bit. There's some that kind of view the Holy Spirit as the third string quarterback. You got God the Father who's looking to retire, and so he's giving Jesus, the second string quarterback, a little bit of playing time. And then you got the Holy Ghost over here. And we sit there and think, well, that's just ridiculous, but that's oftentimes how we treat it. Are you with me? But he is just as important. He is Jesus. He is God. Praise God for the Holy Ghost. We should be just as thankful for the Holy Ghost as we are for Jesus. That was a little quiet. We should be just as thankful for the Holy Ghost as we are for Jesus. Am I thankful for Jesus? Absolutely. He died for my sins and he sent the Holy Ghost to me. And I can tell you one thing. We wouldn't be living in this world striving for the things that God has promised us and believing for the things and living in holiness. We couldn't do any of it without the Holy Ghost. So we don't need to grieve him. We even grieve him when we misuse our mouth. It says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29, it says, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Yeah. And then if you go down just a little bit, it says, instead, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. The fourth thing that he talked about last week was quenching the Holy Spirit. Somebody say quenching. In 1 Thessalonians 5:19, it says, don't quench the Holy Spirit. In 2 Timothy 5, 2 Timothy 1:5-7, it says, fan into flames the gift of the Spirit that is in you. And so when we talk about quenching, it literally means to put the fire out. Fire is a symbol and represents the work of the Holy Ghost in our life. We are to be like a light on a hill. He is a consuming fire. So if he's in me, he's consuming me. I'm supposed to be living on fire. You are supposed to be what? Living on fire. I believe it's John Wesley. It says, light yourself on fire and watch the world come. Let the world watch you burn. Set yourself on fire, not literally. Not literally. But let the fire of God consume your life. And people are going to see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So don't put the fire out. Now that's what he got through last week, right? Here we are. Here's a new one for you. Are you ready? The fifth hurdle is resisting the Holy Spirit. It says in Acts 7:51, it says, you stiff-necked people, don't resist. Your hearts and ears are still uncircumcised. You are just like your ancestors who always resist the Holy Spirit. Was there ever a prophet your ancestors did not persecute? They even killed those who predicted the coming of the righteous one. And now you have betrayed and murdered him, you who have received the law that was given through the angels, but do not obey it. When you resist the Holy Spirit, you become stiff-necked. You become hard-hearted. Resisting the Holy Spirit is to become in direct defiance of the clear will of God. When you resist him, you resist his urgings. You put yourself opposite to his will. Direct defiance of the will of God, the direction of God, the commands of God, and the agenda of God. You can clearly know it. He can speak to your heart to do something. But if you don't do it, what are you doing? You're resisting. When we look at Jesus' ministry, we see that the Pharisees had a lot of jealousy. Somebody say jealousy. The Pharisees had a lot of jealousy. And why were they jealous? Because Jesus had results. Jesus had results. Now, why did Jesus have results and they didn't? Because he didn't resist. He didn't resist the leading of the Holy Ghost. Can I tell you something? Everything Jesus did, he did in the same position you and I are in. He had flesh like you and I. He was baptized in the Holy Ghost like you and I. He had to yield to the Spirit just like you and I. He didn't have a little powwow on the side, say, Holy Ghost, we need to change this play a little bit. We need to do something. No, what was he doing? He submitted himself to the will of the Father. He listened to the leading and the guiding of the Holy Ghost. And he did everything in the Gospels as an example. Not an example of to put in a museum, but an example to live by, to admire, and to follow. So don't resist. Don't resist the Holy Ghost. I don't want to be stiff-necked. Number 6. Now, how many of you know, resisting the Holy Spirit, that's a pretty big hurdle that we've got to master. How many of you have ever heard the voice of God to do something and you didn't do it? See, that's all a hurdle we need to master. Somebody say, we can master it. We can master it. Number 6, insulting the Holy Ghost. We need to master that, insulting the Holy Ghost. Well, Tim, what do you mean by that? In Hebrews 10:19, it says, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, with full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to this hope we profess. For he who promised is faithful. I want to say that again. He who promised is faithful. Everybody say that with me. He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good works. Not giving up meeting together. Not giving up meeting together. As some are in the habit of doing. But that's not you because you're here. But encourage one another, and all the more as the day approaching. As we see the day approaching. What day? The day when the dead in Christ shall rise, and we along will meet him in the clouds. Jesus is coming soon.
Yes, he is.
If we deliberately keep on sinning, after we have received the knowledge of truth, no sacrifice for sins is left. This is where we get into the insult. But only a fearful expectation of judgment, of a raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more severely do we trample the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as unholy the thing, the blood of the covenant, and sanctified them, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace. I want to tell you, if there is undealt with sin in your life, it insults the Spirit of God. It insults the blood of God. It insults the Spirit of grace, who is the Holy Spirit. To deliberately turn back after having personally receive revelation of the truth. You say, well, Tim, that's so far from, we don't see that. We see it every day. Especially in young people. I'll tell you why. Because they have elevated their feelings. And I'm not just saying young people, all people have elevated their feelings above the truth. Because I feel something, it is higher than the truth. Well, Tim, what do you mean? Because they feel like the church didn't do this, or the church didn't do that, or God didn't do this, and God didn't do that. Because they feel that way, what do? They reject the truth and turn aside to lies, into fables. After having received the blood of Jesus, after having received the knowledge of the truth, they turn away instead of continuing on in what they have known to be true. Feelings will lie to you. I want to tell you that again. Your emotions will lie to you. Your feelings and your emotions will lie to you. Doubt your feelings and trust the truth. Doubt your feelings and trust the truth. Because the Word of God is far more important and far more accurate than what you feel. Are you with me?
Yes.
So don't turn your back to the truth. Don't despise the work of the Holy Ghost in your life. Something that's kind of become quiet, but still very active, is this term of deconstruction. I despise it. When I first started hearing about it, I wanted to sound the alarm to every young person I knew, because it was rampant in young people to deconstruct their faith. I want to tell you, you are not authorized to deconstruct what Jesus Christ has built in your life. You are not authorized. You do not have the anointing. You do not have the authority to deconstruct what Jesus has built in your life. Amen. And who are we to think we can build something better?
Right.
Amen.
This is insulting the spirit of grace. Amen. I'm sorry I spent so much time on it. However, it's a doctrine of demons. And when we talk about doctrines of demons, it's not like a doctrine of demon is a demon coming up and saying, I'm a doctrine of demon. No. What does it do? It disguises itself to make it seem rational, to make it seem spiritual, to make it seem correct.
That's good.
It disguises itself. Just as the devil disguises himself as an angel of light, but we know he is no angel of light. The last one here. Last hurdle is blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Somebody say blaspheming. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. We're going to start in verse 22. Then a demon-possessed man who was blind and couldn't speak was brought to Jesus. He healed the man so that he could both speak and see. The crowd was amazed and asked, could it be that Jesus is the Son of David, the Messiah? But when the Pharisees heard it, see that jealousy welling up? When the Pharisees heard it about the miracle, they said, no wonder he can cast out demons. He's getting his power from Satan, the prince of demons. Jesus knew their thoughts and replied, any kingdom divided by civil war is doomed. A town or family splintered by feuding will fall apart. And if Satan is casting out Satan, he is divided and fighting against himself. His kingdom will not survive. And if I'm empowered by Satan, what about your own exorcists? Get them, Jesus. They cast out demons too. So they will condemn you for what you have said. But if I'm casting out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has arrived among you. For who is powerful enough to enter the house of a strong man and plunder his goods? Only someone even stronger, someone who could tie him up and then plunder his house. Anyone who isn't with me opposes me. And anyone who isn't working with me is actually working against me. So I tell you, every sin and blasphemy can be forgiven, except blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, which will never be forgiven. Anyone who speaks against the Son of Man can be forgiven, but anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven, either in this world or in the world to come. When I was a young man, this is a little funny story. When I was a young man, I knew this passage. Like, that's the one thing I don't want to do. Anything else I can be forgiven of. But that's the one thing. But there wasn't a clear revelation on what it was or what it meant. And so I became so consumed and feared blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Why? Because of ignorance. I began to fear, what is it? Did I do it? Oh man, am I going to hell now? You see the ignorance of a teenage boy. And so I remember one day I called my dad. I said, Dad, I think I blasphemed the Holy Spirit. He said, Tim, if you did, you wouldn't be calling me. I said, what do you mean? He said, anyone who's blasphemed the Holy Ghost, their fire is completely gone out. There's no remorse. There's no conviction. It's gone. I said, okay. So I haven't. He said, you haven't. I said, okay. But then I began to learn, what is the blaspheming of the Holy Spirit? It's to give Satan the credit for the work of the Holy Ghost. to speak against him, to profane him, to speak defamatorily against him. This means to attribute the work of the Holy Spirit to Satan, his signs, his wonders, his miracles, his healings, to give Satan credit for that. And blaspheme is committed by the mouth. So, I don't think really anyone in here is in danger of that. And if you are, we'll pray for you. You wouldn't be here. Congratulations. Anyways, but when we talk about the blaspheme of the Holy Spirit, you see there are some people that are flirting with this idea. There was a book that came out some years ago named Strange Fire. I don't recommend you read it. And I began to ask, I said, Jesus, this is pretty close. He said, you're right. He said, but there's mercy. And he said, he's not blaspheming me, but he's blaspheming my people. He's blaspheming my people. So I want to tell you, if there's something you don't understand when it comes to the Holy Ghost, which there's things I don't understand. Why? We're all learning. If anybody in here understands everything about the Holy Ghost, I'd like to meet you and learn from you. But we all don't understand everything. So if there's something that we don't understand, the best thing to do is keep our mouth shut and learn. Amen?
Yes.
Why? Because I don't even want to flirt around with this thing. I don't want to tread close to this thing. Are you with me? So how many of you can say, I'm not going to blaspheme the Holy Ghost?
Yeah, I'm not going to blaspheme.
Yeah, let's not do that. I'm glad we can sign a pledge together. Praise the Lord. But now we get to the fun stuff. Are y'all ready?
Yeah.
How do we become a person of the Holy Ghost? We jumped all the hurdles. We are mastering that jump of apathy and mastering the jump of resisting. How do we become a person of the Holy Ghost? First thing is we need to honor the Holy Spirit. Somebody say honor.
Honor.
It means that we give him the greatest weight, the greatest value. He is not the third string quarterback. Are you with me? In fact, where is the Father? Where's the Father? In heaven. Thank you very much. Where's the Son? At the right hand, preparing a place for us, interceding for us. Where's the Holy Spirit? He's on the field. Are you with me? He's not more important than the Father or the Son, but he is just as important. Are you with me? He needs to have our greatest weight, our greatest value. We need to honor the Holy Spirit. 1 Samuel 12:31, it says, for those who honor me, I will honor them. And those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. The Amplified put it like this, and those who despise me will be insignificant. I want to tell you something. I don't want to be insignificant in the end times. I want to be on the field. I want to be a major player. I want to take people with me. Amen?
Yes.
Say it. I'm not insignificant. When we talk about despise, it means to make little of, to minimize, to take no thought for. I want to tell you, we love the Lord. I love Jesus. I'm so thankful for Jesus, but I am just as thankful for the work of the Holy Ghost in my life. Why? Because he points me to Jesus. He points me to Jesus. So when you participate in the work of the Holy Ghost, when you honor him, when you participate in the gifts, you honor the gifts, you desire the gifts, you're honoring him. Can I tell you something? Every day is like Christmas with the Holy Ghost, because he'll give you a new gift every day. You need joy, he'll give you the gift of joy. If you need peace in your life, he'll give you the peace. You know, if you need a word of wisdom, how many of you need wisdom throughout your day? He'll give you a gift of wisdom. Amen? Every day is like Christmas with the Holy Ghost. So I want to tell you, desire him. Honor him. Seek after him. Yield to the Spirit. Honor the Spirit rather than honoring ignorance. Are you with me? Don't honor ignorance. Don't honor apathy. Don't give more weight to your apathy than the Holy Ghost. The moment you notice that your fire is beginning to go out, alarm should start going off. I need the fire. I need the fuel. I need the oil of the Holy Ghost. My fire is not what it was, and alarm should be going off. So don't honor the apathy. Oh, I'll just take a beat. Don't just take a beat. Are you with me? Don't take a time out. There's rest. Don't get me wrong. There is rest. But don't let the fire go out just so you can relax. Are you with me? The second thing, number one is honor the Holy Spirit. Number two is value. Somebody say value.
Yeah, value.
Value the Holy Spirit. It says in John 14:26, but the advocate, somebody say the advocate. The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things. How many of you need to know something? Is something included in all things? He'll teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. When we value, it means to consider or rate highly. Holy Spirit's got 5 stars in my book. When we value something, it's to prize something. The Holy Spirit is my prize. He is my prize. He's important to me. I desire him. I seek him. You know, if you want more of Jesus, you'll get more of the Holy Ghost. Some people think, I just need more Jesus. I agree. But what's Jesus going to give you? The Holy Spirit. How important is the Holy Ghost? Why do we need to value him? Because it's the Holy Ghost who empowers us for consecration. You want to live a holy life? You can't do it without the Holy Ghost. Can I tell you something? You can't live holy without the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Spirit that empowers consecration, direction, impartation, revelation. How many of you need a revelation? He proclaims things in our life. He transforms our life. He gives us protection. He consoles us when we need him. He is the comforter. And he manifests himself. Just like this morning, he manifested himself. Amen. We need to value the Holy Ghost. Now, some of y'all have probably heard my testimony about receiving the Holy Ghost and through Pastor Art and stuff. So I thought I'd just share a little bit from the horse's mouth. I don't know why I'm a horse, but there we go. But I got saved when I was very young. And some people may not like this. I don't remember the day I got saved. Thank you. I appreciate that. But I can remember days of rededicating my life to the Lord. Days of when I needed to get things right and back on track. But from a very young age, I accepted Jesus. And shortly, if not within hours afterwards, people began to pray for me as a young boy. Jerry and Rita Henley. And my mom and my dad took me in their arms and just began to pray over me. to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And when I was 2 years old, I was baptized in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. There is not a day of my life I do not remember having the ability to pray in the Holy Ghost. I don't remember a time not speaking in tongues. The Holy Spirit has been present in my life from a very young age. When I needed encouragement, the Holy Spirit was there. When I needed to learn, the Holy Spirit was there. He was my teacher. And when I was getting myself into trouble, He was there, protecting me and convicting me. He was there, convicting me. And there have been times in my life where the fire's been less than others. But I can tell you, all my life, I've desired the Holy Ghost. I've appreciated Him and I've valued Him. Yes. So I want to tell you something. In Matthew chapter 19, parents brought Jesus, or brought their children to Jesus. And the disciples shooed them away. Don't bother Him. And what I'm about to say, I'm not saying to condemn anybody. I'm saying because the Holy Spirit told me to. I have found that more parents associate themselves with the disciples that got reprimanded than the parents that brought their kids to Jesus. I found that parents are keeping their kids from the things of God.
That's a good word.
Yes, it is.
It's very quiet. Now, I'm a new parent, so in no way am I going to give any kind of parenting advice, but I am a pastor. I've been a youth pastor for well over a decade, so I think I have some sort of experience. I have found increasingly over the years that parents who are disciples themselves keep their kids from the things of God. And have made other things Lord. We've seen a decline, I'm not talking to attendance or anything like that. We've seen a decline in spirituality. Because where their parents valued it, they valued it a little less. And now even though they had a great example from their parents, it has just began to decline and decline and decline. And I want to tell you, don't be like that. Go back to the example of Matthew chapter 19, where the parents brought their kids to Jesus. Don't identify as a disciple that later got reprimanded and corrected by the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to tell you, I'm thankful that I grew up in this church. My life has been saved. My life has been spared. My life has been improved because my parents brought me to church. Well, you're a pastor's kid. That's fine. I know plenty of pastor's kids who ran when they were 18 years old and they're lost. And I had the opportunity. Amen. I had the opportunity to, but I knew what I was taught is more real than what the world has to offer. And so I want to tell you, don't withhold the church from your kids. I'm not saying don't withhold your kids from the church. Why? Because that's what people think I'm saying. People think I'm saying, well, you just want more kids in attendance and all this and that. I'm going to preach the gospel regardless if your kid's there or not. But what I'm saying is you are withholding the impartations, the gifts, of the Spirit, you're withholding the fellowship of the brethren from your child. My name's Tim, and I still love you. I hope you love me after this too. And the same can be said for all of us. We don't need to withhold ourselves from the church. We don't need to withhold ourselves. Why? Because we need this more than ever before. We need the message of the Holy Ghost more than ever before. We need the message of the Holy Ghost more than ever before. We need the Holy Ghost more than ever before. As the day approaches, the days get darker, but we get brighter. Are you with me? You need the Holy Spirit more than ever before. If you thought the Holy Spirit was okay on the back burner, you need to put him on the front burner. Amen. Amen? Amen? You need him more than ever before. You need him to parent. You need him to work. You need him more than ever before. And everything that the Holy Spirit has to offer.
That's right.
We need to honor him. We need to value him. Number three, we need to obey every urging of the Holy Ghost. Somebody say, obey.
Obey.
Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey. There have been times when I've been with the Lord and I said, Lord, I love you. He said, did you obey me? No, I didn't. And I have to do what? Repent and make it right. There have been times where we're singing that song, Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you. And I'll sing that song. And he'll say to me, but did you obey me? And there are times where I say, yes, I did. And there are times when I say, no, I didn't. Our obedience indicates our love for him. We can say we love him, but if we don't obey him, we don't love him. Obey every urging of the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you something? You need to step out in faith and be used by the Holy Ghost and see what he'll do. Amen. There have been times where I'm like, Lord, if we mess this up, I'm going to look like an idiot. You're going to be fine. I'm not. How many of you ever felt like that? Where he's leading you to do something and he's safe up there and the Holy Ghost is safe in here, but this flesh is not safe and these feelings are not safe. It's okay. You're supposed to crucify your flesh and your feelings are a liar. Sorry. There we go. There was a time I was praying for someone. It was this grandmother. This grandmother came to me and said, I need you to pray for my granddaughter. I said, okay. She said, she's pregnant and there's complications with the pregnancy. I said, okay. And so I began to pray and the Holy Spirit told me the gender. I'm like, okay, I got a 50-50 shot here. Let's see what happens. And so I began to pray over this little girl. Not the granddaughter, the great granddaughter. And I began to say her and she, because her and she, he are the really only pronouns that are accurate.
Amen. Yeah.
And so I began to pray over her. And she said, well, we don't know the gender yet. But if it's a girl, because this was after I prayed, if it's a girl, they're going to name her this. Or they're going to name her that. I said, okay. I said, they're going to name her this. And I got a 50-50 shot again, okay? Let's see what happens. They came back to me and they said, everything's fine. It's a little girl. And they're going to call her by that name. I was like, all right. I heard the Holy Ghost. And there was a time when I was in college and I was at a prayer meeting and the Holy Spirit said, I want you to leave. Holy Spirit, I'm praying to you. I'm here for you. He said, leave. All these people here, we're praying and it's we're doing this for you, Jesus. He said, leave. I said, okay. I got up and I left. And he said, I want you to go to a coffee shop. I said, Holy Spirit, if they found out that I left a prayer meeting to go to a coffee shop, he said, do it.
That's good.
I said, okay. I said, it's 8 o'clock at night. I don't need coffee. He said, that's okay. You're not going to get a cup. I said, okay. So I walk in and there were a couple people there and he said, look to your right. In the very back corner, there was a man that I went to school with. And he said, you're going to minister to him. I said, okay. I went over and I said, this is going to sound crazy. I said, I was in a prayer meeting. The Holy Spirit told me to come here, not to drink a cup of coffee and to come pray for you. And this man just began to weep. He just began to weep. I don't know him. I mean, knew him from a distance and I don't have his phone number. We're not friends on Facebook. I mean, nothing like that. But as soon as I said, I'm here to pray for you, he just began to cry. He just began to weep. I said, are you right with Jesus? He said, no. And I led him to the Lord. You know, who cares if you look stupid to people if you please God? Are you with me? You need to step out in faith and do what the Lord has told you to do. There was a time I was in college and I remember when gas was really, 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 really high. I'm not talking Biden. I'm talking, anyways, we're not going to relive all that. And I went to the gas station and then I was on a college student's budget and I filled up my tank and that's all the gas I had for that week to do everything I needed to do, to drive, to do. And I had a little bit of money left over to eat. And that was my college student budget. And the Holy Ghost said, I want you to pay for that person's gas. And they had one of those. And this had to be a 20 gallon tank. And I don't remember exactly, but I remember gas in the $3 some, I don't remember. And I said, okay. And I did it. I said, I went to these two ladies that were in the car. I said, the Holy Ghost wants me to pray or pay for your gas. And they were shocked. They were shocked. I was like, well, okay, I'm just going to go do this now. And they just sat in their car and I filled it up. And I was like, okay, you're going to have to do something to do this. And they left. But as soon as I got in my car, I put my hand on the handle. And he said, thank you for obeying me. He said, you'll never have a problem with money again. Now, over the years, I've asked him about that. I've asked him about that. And the answer's been twofold. I've never had a problem with money being my Lord. And two, every time I needed it, it came. It may not have come when I wanted it. It may not have come when I thought I needed it, but it came. He's always been faithful. He's always been faithful. There was a time I told the teenagers I was going to preach on the Holy Ghost. And I preached on the Holy Ghost for 4 weeks. And I preached and I preached and I preached and I preached. And I told them, I said, on the fourth week, I'm going to pray for anybody who wants to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I preached and I preached and I preached. And man, it was good. I get to the fourth week. And it was so weird because it just, the 1 week where I had invested all of this preaching into this 1 week, then all of the teenagers decide to come. Why weren't you here when I was preaching on all this stuff? And so all the teenagers came. And I'm like, Holy Ghost, I mean, do I need to preach on this again? He said, no, you do what you said you're going to do. I said, they don't know anything. And I'm serious. A lot of them didn't know anything. A lot of them came from Baptist churches. A lot of them came from Church of Christ and all that kind of stuff. And praise the Lord. It doesn't matter. Jesus will baptize a Baptist in the Holy Ghost. He'll baptize a Church of Christ in the Holy Ghost. Whatever label they want to put on themselves. And I said, okay. And there was this one young man. And he was a faithful attender. And for some reason, he just wanted to skip the 3 weeks we're preaching on the Holy Ghost. And so he came down. I said, do you know what you're doing? He said, no, but I want it. Yeah. And I said, okay. I said, I want you to pray this prayer with me. And I prayed. And I laid my hand on his chest. And as soon as I laid my hand on his chest, didn't know what tongues was, didn't know what, and any of it. He didn't grow up with it. He missed the 3 weeks of my wonderful preaching. But as soon as I laid my hand on his chest, he began to do something he didn't know existed. Amen. He began to speak in other tongues. Right. Later, he texted me. He said, what just happened? What just happened? So I want to tell you, obey the Holy Ghost. Amen. Obey the Holy Ghost. Why? Because someone could be praying and you are the answer to their prayer. Just as I was an answer to that young man's prayer in the coffee shop. Just as I was the answer to those two ladies' prayer with the 20-gallon tank. Amen? You can be the answer to someone's prayer. So don't put the Holy Ghost on a back burner. Are you with me?
Yes.
How many of you got your favorite burner on the stove? I've got my favorite burner. It's the one on the front left. It's got the dual zone, so it boils really fast. You need to put the Holy Ghost on the front left with the dual zone, ultra fast heating. Are you with me?
Yeah.
You need to pray in the Holy Ghost more than ever before. More than ever before. I thank God for the Holy Ghost. Why? Because when I was off doing things I knew I wasn't supposed to do, there was that conviction on the inside that always turned me around. Even if I committed something I wasn't supposed to do, that conviction was there. You need the conviction of the Holy Ghost. You need the protection of the Holy Ghost. How many of you have ever heard the Holy Ghost say, turn around.
Yes.
Don't go that way.
Yes.
Run away.
Yes.
You need the Holy Ghost more than ever before. And I'm not saying this for fear or anything. I'm saying this for hope. It's a matter of life and death. Are you with me?
Yes.
You need the Holy Ghost more than you ever have before.
Yes.
If you need a fresh dose, get a fresh dose. If you haven't prayed in the Holy Ghost in a long time, pray in the Holy Ghost more than you ever have before.
That's right.
You know, there's this pretty famous verse, probably next to John 3:16, Romans what? 1:16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For it is what? The power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. Did you know the final things that Jesus told his disciples was the Holy Ghost? He preached on faith. He preached on prayer. He preached on giving, and he preached on forgiveness. But the last thing he told them to do was get the Holy Ghost. You need the Holy Ghost more than ever before. You need him more than ever before.
Amen. Yes.
I want to tell you, here's what I'm led to do. Altars are open for anybody who wants that. I'm not going to call anybody down here. If you're a parent and you've got a kid who has not been baptized in the Holy Ghost, I want you to get them. I want you to get them. I don't care how old they are. If they're in the nursery, I'll pray for them. And let that gift just pop up when they get older. If you've got a kid that's never been baptized in the Holy Ghost, I'll pray for him. If you want to do that now. Worship team, if you come. I know the temptation here is to say, wow, Tim, that was a cool story. You had evangelist Jerry and Rita Henley, and you had your wonderful parents to pray over you. And I mean, I've been honored. But guess what? When my children came out, I didn't have a Jerry or Rita Henley. And my mom and dad weren't in the room either. I had me. And so what did I do? I did what I've been taught. As soon as they came out, cleaned them up. Just make sure they're cleaned up a little bit. The first words I ever spoke to them were the blessing. I spoke the blessing over my children, both of them. And then I prayed that they would receive Jesus at a very early age.
Yes.
And they would be baptized in the Holy Ghost at a very early age.
Yes.
So I want to tell you, if your kid's 13, 14, 15, and you haven't been able to do that, do it anyways. The blessing is timeless. The blessing is timeless. Can I tell you that again? The blessing is timeless. Bless your kids. Well, they need more than the blessing. The blessing is what they need. They need the blessing. They need the blessing of salvation. They need the blessing of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. If everyone would stand with me. Holy Spirit, we honor you. We value you. And we obey you. We honor you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. It says in 1 Timothy, I want to read this to you. When Paul wrote 1 and 2 Timothy, I'm pretty sure he carbon copied me in that. Because I've gone to these books time after time for direction and encouragement. But he says this, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, he says, this is why I remind you. Somebody say, remind me. Because we all need reminding. To fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power and love and a sound mind. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, which means the Holy Ghost is going to not give us fear. He's not going to give us timidity. The Holy Ghost is going to give us what? Power. He's going to give us love, and he's going to give us a sound mind. In a world with so much mental illness and mental distress, we need the power of the Holy Ghost more than ever before. With so much mental illness and distress, we need the power of the Holy Ghost more than ever before. If you'd like a fresh dose of the Holy Ghost, raise your hands and just say this with me. Jesus, you are the baptizer in the Holy Ghost. You've done it before. You've done it in me. So do it again. Baptize me anew and afresh in the Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, what I want you to do is just begin to release it. Just begin to release it. Release the Holy Ghost. Release it, release it, release it, release it. You're sitting there thinking, I used to be able to, where is it? I want to tell you, if you ask him for a fish, he's not going to give you a snake. If you ask him for bread, he's not going to give you a stone. If you ask him for a fish, he's not going to give you a snake. If you ask him for the Holy Ghost, he's not going to give you something fake. So what I want to tell you to do is just open your mouth and begin to utter. Just begin to speak it. Well, Tim, that sounds fake. If you ask him for the Holy Ghost, he's not going to give you something fake. He's not going to give you something fake.